This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. This story is from our mosquito episode. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. One thing we've learned from dealing with this coronavirus outbreak is that we don't like to think about threats until they are right in our face. The longer we can say, this is not a big deal, the better, right? That's what public health officials in Colorado are facing when it comes to the West Nile virus. In the vast majority of West Nile cases, people show few or no symptoms. But about 20% of confirmed cases do show symptoms, and some have serious neurological reactions. It can be deadly. West Nile has killed more than 2,000 people nationwide since it was first detected in the U.S. more than 20 years ago, and it's left many more severely disabled. Reporter Stina Sieg takes us to a rural town in western Colorado where a passionate few are trying to wake everyone else up to the danger buzzing around them.
All summer, the small town of Paonia has free music nights at its downtown park. It's always packed with families camped out on blankets, surrounded by food trucks and beer stands. And always, there's a table with free mosquito repellent, which often goes unused. I asked people about West Nile on one of those beautiful summer evenings last year. Most knew about the virus, but were not concerned. Drew Henry was visiting from Arizona, from an area where West Nile has been found.
Isn't that like worrying about getting hit by like a meteor or something? Like, should I always be walking around with a hard hat on?
Janet King, a local, told me she knows four people who've contracted West Nile, including her husband. But she refuses to live in fear of it because mosquitoes are ubiquitous.
Which is why I think people don't want to acknowledge what damage it does, because you can't do anything about it if you have it, and you can't really keep a mosquito from biting you.
Health officials strongly disagree and stress using approved insect repellent, covering up, and even avoiding the outdoors at dusk and dawn. A few nights after that concert, across town, a mosquito-killing fog pumped out the back of a pickup truck and into the warm evening air. Spraying still has plenty of critics here, but has become less controversial as it's become more targeted. Mike Clausen sprays a small part of the county from spring through the beginning of fall. He says when he passes locals, he sometimes gets a thumbs up.
That's when you know you're appreciated.
But by the end of spraying season in 2019, the county had registered 33 West Nile cases, more than twice that of any other county in the state. Two people died. Ken Nordstrom heads the Delta County Department of Environmental Health and is a staunch advocate of a county-wide approach to eliminating mosquitoes, especially getting rid of standing water where they breed.
We need it. We need it.
Buddy thinks it's got to come from a grassroots effort. It has to feel important to people, he says. It has to feel personal. And you can think of one place to start.
Oh, I think stories.
Stories of West Nile's victims that show this can be a real and serious threat. In the summer of 2018, Betsy Marston realized her husband Ed was not well.
He felt tired and confused and listless.
Ed, the former publisher of the High Country News, a well-known magazine in the West, had recently had a successful heart bypass operation. Betsy says he'd been recovering well and was back up to hiking 2 miles a day through the wilderness surrounding Paonia. But all of a sudden, his body went downhill.
And then finally, he could barely walk, and that's when we went to the ER.
By the time the test results came back positive for West Nile, the virus had been eating away at his body and mind for a little more than a week. He shook uncontrollably. He was practically comatose. Soon, he died.
West Nile disease is brutal. You suffer. He suffered.
West Nile can cause inflammation of the brain, seizures, and paralysis. There is no vaccine and no cure.
People are unwilling to accept a hazard that seems so ephemeral, I think. It's just a bug. You know, you slap it and it's dead.
Betsy's now part of a local survivors group. John Vandenberg is one of those survivors. He was also a longtime friend of Ed's. On the day of Ed's funeral, he collapsed in his living room.
And was unconscious on the floor and ended up semi-conscious for a couple weeks, paralyzed.
John also had West Nile. He initially lost 30 IQ points. He needed a wheelchair. He since started that local survivors group and is also a member of a national group, thousands of people strong. He tells his story at public meetings and local organizations. John recently stopped using a walker after more than a year. He knows he's one of the lucky ones, and not just because his body and mind are coming back.
I had friends, I had relatives, I had support, I had financial abilities. If you don't have any of those things, try to imagine not all of a sudden you can't walk and your arms don't work and your brain's going haywire.
John says people pay attention when they hear a story, but he knows it can be tough to truly believe in this danger.
Before I got West Nile, when I'd look at my area, I would see nothing but wonderfulness. Now I look at my area and think it's wonderful, it's beautiful, but boy, I better be careful.
Because even though the odds are minuscule, he now understands how much a life can change from one mosquito bite.
That was Dina Sieg reporting from Colorado.